You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. All persons having anything to do before the Honorable Beverly Cannoni, the Justice of the Superior Court, hold an indebtum within and for the County of Norfolk. Draw near, give your attendance, and you shall be heard. God save the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. This court is in session. Please be seated.
Good morning, counsel. Good morning, Ms. Reed.
Good morning, jurors. I have to ask you those same three questions. Were you all able to follow my instructions and refrain from discussing this case with anyone since we left here yesterday? Yes. Everyone said yes or nodded affirmatively. Were you also able to follow the instructions and refrain from doing any independent research or investigation into this case? Yes. Everyone said yes or nodded affirmatively. Did anyone happen to see, hear, or read anything about the case since we left yesterday? Everyone said no or should be. Is Dr. Russell in the back there?
Mr. Brennan, you can set up if you want to.
Doctor, I remind you, you're still under oath. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Dr. Russell.
Good morning, Your Honor.
May I?
Yes.
Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning, Mr. Brennan.
I had asked you yesterday if your opinions regarding the wounds on Mr. O'Keefe's arm changed between when you testified last year and then the more recent hearings that we've had over the past 4 or 5 months. Do you remember that question?
Yes.
And when I asked you that question, I asked if you had help with your report, and you told us that there was a woman who helped you with your report.
I told you that there was someone who helped me or made suggestions in organizing the report, having certain sentences placed in certain categories.
When I asked you about the identity, the person who actually helped you, I asked you if it was one of the attorneys and you had said no?
That is correct.
May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
Thank you. You had testified in December 22nd, 2024 in this case?
I believe it was that date, yes.
And when you testified back in December of 2024, do you remember I asked you who it was that had assisted you with your report?
I don't remember that specifically.
Well, I'm going to show you a page from the testimony. This is from the hearing. And I asked you, line 21, page 207, did anybody help you write this report? And what did you say?
I wrote the report.
If you could finish, please.
I had some help with some minor edits, rearranging, you know, some paragraphs or whatsoever, but putting things in the right category.
Then I said, okay. And you answered?
No, I wrote the report.
And then finally I asked, who helped you with your report? What did you tell us?
I said, Mr. Lessie.
And Mr. Lessie, is that gentleman the man who, the attorney who asked questions on direct examination?
Yes.
Okay. And so did Mr. Lessie help you with your report?
What I recall is we discussed the report, but I recall that it was someone else that actually helped me rearrange the report. That's my memory right now.
Is your memory different now than it was last December?
Well, I don't think so, but, you know, you have something in writing.
Do you think you would have testified to that if it was inaccurate?
Mr. Lessie did not help write the report. He may have helped organize and make a suggestion about what is training versus what is experience, but he did not help me write the report.
Did you have any help trying to describe methodology?
No.
Do you have any help talking about differential diagnosis?
No, I'm very familiar with differential diagnosis.
And so after that report was written, is there any reason why some of your opinions have changed?
I don't believe my opinions have changed.
When you testified at the hearing last year, June 21st, 2024, did you express that you couldn't say with 100% certainty what type of animal, in your opinion, caused those wounds?
100% certainty? That is absolutely correct. And I'd like to see that, but yes, I that's my recollection.
If it's your recollection, I'm happy to show you what
yes,
you
please.
Testified to. You want to
yes.
see it again?
Yes.
Okay. And by the way, between last night and today, did you get any advice from anybody suggesting you should ask for a transcript when I ask you a question? Did that advice come your way?
That's my general advice from previous times.
Well, did you have any advice last night about that?
Yes.
Who told you last night that you should always ask for a transcript when I'm asking you questions?
Well, I think it was just Mr. Lessie.
So did you and Mr. Lessie, you know there's a sequestration order, don't you?
Yes.
A sequestration order that you're not supposed to discuss the case at all with anybody?
We didn't discuss specifics.
Do you know that the sequestration order mandates that you not discuss anything about the case from when you start your testimony until you end your testimony? You know that, right?
I understand that there is a sequestration order.
Do you understand the sequestration order mandates that you're not supposed to speak to people, including the attorneys, about this case overnight? Did you understand that?
There were no specifics discussed.
Well, did you understand that you weren't supposed to, is what I'm asking. Did you know that's a violation of the sequestration order to speak to the attorneys overnight?
I did not know that that was that particular conversation would be a violation.
So did you meet with Attorney Lessie last night?
No.
How was it that you had a conversation with him?
Actually, it might have been in the vehicle.
You drove together?
Yes.
So did you commute to and from court together with Attorney Lessie?
Well, there's a driver.
Okay, who else is in the car when you left court yesterday?
The driver. No, I wasn't with him yesterday, no. Not in the car yesterday, no.
Well, you just said that you spoke to Attorney Lessie yesterday. And I'm trying to figure out, when was it that you were having conversations with Mr. Lessie relative to the sequestration order that you're under?
This morning, riding to court.
Okay, so you and Attorney Lessie drove to court?
With the limo driver, yes.
Well, who was in the limo with you and Attorney Lessie on the way to court today?
That was just us.
Just you two?
Yeah.
What else did you both talk about other than that you should ask for a transcript every time I ask you a question?
That's That's what we talked about specific to this case.
Was it a long conversation?
No, not at all.
The entire ride here, there must be more you spoke about other than just a sequestration order.
We did. We spoke about Boston, how I love Boston area. We spoke about New York. We spoke about other things. And in fact, I have to say that even on the ride back to the hotel yesterday with others in the car, nobody spoke about the case.
But I'm talking about this morning when you did speak about the case. What else? Not about the Red Sox or the weather. What else did you talk to Attorney Alessi about this morning other than you should ask for a transcript every time I ask you a question?
We talked about what I did last night.
About this case?
No.
I'm asking about this case.
That was it.
I want to know what all the discussions were between you and this attorney today or last night about this case.
Just that I should ask for a transcript.
Well, there must have been some context. He didn't just turn to you talking about the weather and say, hey, you should ask for a transcript. You must have been talking about something.
He generally says, be honest. Always be honest.
Fantastic. But this morning about your testimony, what did he tell you? Did he tell you this morning you should be honest?
Not this morning.
Okay. Does anybody need to remind you to be honest when you testify?
No.
Okay. What else did he tell? How did it come up? Hey, by the way, ask for transcripts.
I don't even know how it came up. I didn't put much significance to it.
Well, it was just moments ago it happened because you just got to court. You can't remember the context of the sage advice of Attorney Alessi?
No.
Do you have any memory issues?
Oh. No.
May I approach?
Yes.
Transcript, page 36. Since you've asked for the transcript, I have it for you. Dr. Russell, this is June 21st, 2024. I had asked you whether you expressed that you couldn't say with 100% certainty you agree with my answer, so there's no need to try to refresh your memory, but I'm going to show it to you because you asked. Take a look at line 16. Is that now consistent with the questions I asked you and the answer that you gave, that you were less than 100%? You couldn't be 100% certain?
That looks consistent.
Do you want more time with the transcript?
No.
Has anybody else talked to you about your testimony today overnight, Dr. Russell?
No.
When you testified last year, same transcript that we just looked at, do you remember when you gave your opinion to a reasonable degree of medical certainty, you said that you thought the wounds were from an animal, possibly a large dog?
On that same date?
Yes.
May I see the transcript?
Of course. Pursuant to Attorney Alessi's advice, let me approach.
Objection, Your Honor.
I'm going to strike that. Disregard that, Jones.
May I approach?
Yes. What page you want, Mr.?
23.
June 21st, 2024,
Doctor? June 21st.
Page 23, line 14. Will you ask the question based on everything we've discussed today? Is it your opinion based on a reasonable degree of medical certainty? These injuries were from an animal attack, possibly a large dog. What did you say?
I said yes.
Thank you. Have that back?
Yes, you may.
Okay, thank you.
When you gave your opinion, not this year, last year, you agreed when you were assessing the wound, you used the word or adopted the word possibly, didn't you?
I explain the context of it?
Sure.
That sentence?
Sure. Go right ahead.
No, you. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Please rephrase the question.
When you were asked about your opinion last year, not this year, last year, about whether to a reasonable degree of medical certainty the injuries were from an animal attack, possibly a large dog, you agreed with that characterization. A large animal, possibly a dog, didn't you?
An animal, possibly a large dog, last year, yes.
When you were on direct examination, there were tons of questions about this word methodology. Do you remember all those questions you were asked?
In June?
Yesterday.
Yesterday, okay, yes.
Yes, and when you were asked about methodology, was that an attempt to try to explain that you weren't just looking at an abrasion and guessing or eyeballing it, you were trying to suggest some type of scientific or medical process to give some type of certainty to your opinion?
That is the process I used.
When you talked about methodology yesterday, you talked about your experience in methodology with knife wounds and gunshot wounds, correct?
Yes.
But there was no methodology whatsoever regarding looking at a photograph and then identifying whether that is consistent with dog bites, is there?
I disagree.
When you describe methodology, you were asked by Attorney Alessi whether or not you've engaged in that methodology regarding dog bites. Did you agree that there is really no methodology regarding dog bites?
I disagree.
When you use the word methodology regarding dog bites, there isn't something specific you are looking at as if you were looking at a fingerprint. There are points of comparison. You don't do that, do you?
There are no specific points that are published by a organization, for instance, on how to determine something is a dog bite. However, I did use different methodologies, including what we talked about, the differential diagnosis, the pattern recognition. Pattern recognition, again, is so important in medicine. It's what pathologists use to diagnose tumors.
There is no standard. There is no recognized standard anywhere for methodology on how to identify a dog bite wound, is there?
There is no published standard from an organization that I am aware of.
So there is no source, there is no recognized community, there's no certification, there is no recognized method in identifying a superficial abrasion as a dog bite. Isn't that fair to say?
As in many conditions in the medical field, there are no certifications.
How about published standards? Is there any published standards whatsoever, any, regarding claims that a superficial abrasion is a dog bite? Are there any published standards by any organization?
No, but there would have to be thousands of published standards to identify the causes of the thousands of different types of abrasions. So, no, there's no published standards.
No published standards. There is nowhere you can point to where the so-called methodology that you were telling the jury yesterday is a readily accepted standard in the dog bite community. You can't point to anywhere, can you?
There are peer review articles which list recommendations on how to determine something is from some wounds are from a dog. These are peer review articles written by esteemed physicians that have analyzed dog bites and have published these and have published an approach to identifying, particularly a forensic approach to identifying dog bites.
Let me ask you the question again, Dr. Russell. Can you point to one place where there is a readily accepted standard in the dog bite community for identifying dog bites? One article, one journal, one book. Can you point to any?
Well, I'm going to mention the articles I mentioned earlier. The article with the lead author of Dr. DeMunich, and the article with the lead author of Dr. Pollack. And although they're not standards, they are recommendations.
I'm going to ask you the question one more time before I approach. Can you point to one place, one,
where there is a readily accepted standard in the dog bite community for identifying dog bites?
No.
And so with no readily accepted standards in the dog bite community, no defined methodology, when you look at a photo like you do of John O'Keefe's arm, you're just eyeballing it based on your personal experience with dog bites rather than relying on some type of scientific foundation that has been published and accepted in the community.
Objection, Your Honor.
I'm going to allow that.
Isn't that fair to say, Dr. Russell?
No, absolutely not. There are many, many conditions in medicine where there are no standards developed, and yet doctors make, and you know, nurse practitioners and the like, make diagnoses all the time on these various medical conditions. And more importantly, they treat them because they require treatment. There are not published standards on every single of the 10,000 or more medical conditions that exist, including dog bites.
I'm not talking about a stuffy nose or a broken leg. We're talking about dog bites here. So let's focus on dog bites, if you would, if you can indulge me, doctor. Regarding dog bites, since there is no standard practice, there is no accepted methodology, and since there is no accepted and approved guidelines, you are essentially simply looking at a picture, a photograph, and just using your past experience with treating dog bites as the basis for your opinion. Isn't that fair to say?
I don't think so. I'm using my past experience, my strong interest in dog bites over 30 years, and the methodology and the articles that I read. The numerous articles I read, but the articles that have recommendations, I'm using all of that combined to come up with a, you know, methodology for determining that those are the result of a dog.
Well, you say coming up with a methodology. Are you saying that you're creating your own methodology, that you're the person who has the standard and nobody else? Is that your position, Dr. Russell?
No, I the phrasing was not good there. I use standard methodology of pattern recognition and differential diagnosis.
There is no standard in the medical community relative to differential diagnosis and pattern recognition as it relates to dog bites, not other areas of medicine, dog bites. There is no accepted methodology, is there?
That's true.
You mentioned that you have this strong interest in dog bites. Let me borrow a phrase. Do you think you had any confirmation bias when you got into this case?
I don't think so.
Well, you definitely want to be in this case. You weren't sought out. You sought the case.
That is incorrect.
And you said you had a strong interest in dogs, and that is one of the reasons you wanted to get involved in this case. Isn't that fair to say?
No, that's actually an unfair statement. I did not want to get involved. I wanted to offer my my knowledge and experience to help clarify issues. I did not want to become an expert witness in this case. And I used, again, as I do on just about every medical condition that I look at and every wound that I look at, I do a differential diagnosis. What else could this be? What, you know, what else could have caused these scratches and abrasions and wounds? What else before I come to my conclusion?
On your ride over here today, were you instructed that when I ask a question, rather than answer it, give a long explanation about something else?
No.
I would like to put up an exhibit of Mr. O'Keefe's arm, and I want to ask you some questions about it. You and I have had many conversations about Mr. O'Keefe's superficial scratches before, haven't we?
Yes.
And would you agree, looking at these, they are superficial abrasions? Do you agree with that characterization?
Yes.
When we last spoke, just for background, to remind ourselves, we broke these into separate parts so we could discuss them by number. Just for
the sense of clarity. And we discussed this as wound number one. Do you remember that?
Grouping number one, yes.
Number two?
Yes.
Number three?
Yes.
Four?
Yes.
Five.
Which did you call four?
This one.
Four, five, six, maybe.
Okay. So as we go through, I'm going to identify them by number. That wasn't done by anybody else. It was just during our discussion so we can have clarity. Is that
okay.
fair?
Sustained.
Is it fair if I refer to this as one, two, three, four, five, six?
I think so.
Okay. When you testified on June 18th of 2024, last year, when you came in, you were asked questions before the actual hearing. You were asked questions about this particular superficial abrasion, weren't you?
I'd have to see the transcript. I believe so, but I'd have to see the transcript.
Do you remember when you were first giving opinion testimony about this specific abrasion, wound number one? Do you remember you saying that you thought it was either teeth or nails?
I'd have to see the transcript again.
I will give you the transcript, and as I'm doing that, let me ask you, do you remember your testimony about what you actually said?
Yes, Your Honor.
So, do you remember your testimony?
For each specific day, no. I remember generally, but not for each specific day.
If you
I've
have
been here
opinion,
many times.
I'm going to bring your transcript up to remind you, but if you have an opinion, it shouldn't change, right? It should always be the same?
Generally, yes.
Okay. So let me ask you before we talk about what you said at the beginning. What is this from? Teeth or nails?
It could be either, but I think this from teeth.
So when you say they could be either, if you have a methodology and you have a certain standard where you can identify something based on a standard, there wouldn't be so much uncertainty, would there? You'd be able to look at this, consider the methodology, and either come to an opinion whether it was teeth, nails, or something totally different, right?
You know, Mr. Brennan, perhaps I didn't explain earlier, but the nail of a dog tends to be cone-shaped, conical in shape, and very similar to the nails that the canine teeth of dogs. So the shape and the fact that they come to a point makes some wounds indistinguishable.
Are you saying that nails of a dog are so similar to the teeth that you can't tell the difference between them when you're looking at a wound?
I'm saying that they can cause similar looking abrasions.
Are you able, as the premier expert in the United States on dog bites, able to tell the difference between teeth and claw nails of an animal when you're looking at a wound?
Individually, okay, that's a very interesting question. Sometimes it's difficult because they can have similar appearing wounds. So you have to look at the overall pattern in order to make some conclusions.
Well, when you first started testifying in this case, you never suggested you had to look at everything in totality. You were giving opinions regarding individual wounds. Isn't that fair to say?
No.
It wasn't until I began asking you questions and you had inconsistent answers that you've now changed from, rather than identifying individual wounds, now you're saying I can't identify individual wounds, but I can tell you in totality.
I disagree with that. I believe that the very first time I testified, I mentioned that the overall pattern was important.
When you first testified, so today, before we get to your testimony, you're saying this could be either teeth or nails, but you think it's probably teeth?
Correct.
How probable? Do you think it's certainly teeth, to a reasonable degree of medical certainty? You're not sure? What is the value of your certainty or lack of certainty about what caused this wound?
Reasonable degree of medical certainty.
What is a reasonable degree of medical certainty? That what?
That those are caused by teeth.
Teeth, okay. When you first testified, your position was it could have been teeth or nails. That is different than saying, to a reasonable degree of medical certainty, teeth, isn't it?
No, there is a small possibility that they could be caused by nails.
When you first testified, you didn't qualify it as a small possibility, did you?
I perhaps wasn't asked.
Well, you answered. Do you remember when you were asked about it and you answered? You talked about that it was a pattern close to the shoulder with parallel marks. Do you remember?
Do I remember what?
saying that this is a pattern close to the shoulder,
mm-hmm.
right? That they're superficial. You agree with that still?
Yes.
And did you say they were consistent with teeth and nail marks?
Yes.
Okay. Nails on a dog oftentimes, or most times, are horseshoe shaped, aren't they?
They're generally conical shape.
You don't think that nails on a dog in your studies have a horseshoe shape?
I think it depends on the grooming of the dog and if the nails were cut recently. But in general, they come to a point. They're at the, you know, at the end of the paw. They come to a point. And by the way, the paws can open and close. So the distance between the nails can vary depending on how that claw impacts the skin. So in many ways, they resemble the overall shape of canine teeth.
And so to get back to my question here, you're saying that this could have been caused by dog nails?
It's possible.
Do you know, or do you think that the teeth in a dog are different shapes and sizes?
Oh yes, depending on the tooth, there's different shapes and sizes, absolutely.
When you testified the first time and you said that you thought it was teeth or nails. Do you remember testifying a couple days later in front of a group of people and you again iterated that this could be teeth or claw marks? That was your testimony last year, teeth or claw marks, right?
You know, and I'm gonna object to the characterization of that prior proceeding.
So just prior proceeding, folks, that's all that we need.
Did you testify at that prior proceeding last summer that this could have been teeth or claw marks?
I would need to see the transcript.
Yes.
When you first testified on June 18th, Doctor, you were asked questions trying to identify what you thought that wound was. And this is your June 18th, 2024 testimony on page 37, line 7, the questions begin. And you were asked what you thought they were. You can read any part you want, but line 7 might be a starting point.
Yes, I said that which are consistent with teeth marks, they could also be possibly consistent with nail marks.
Dr. Russell, I'm just going to ask you to keep your voice up, okay?
Okay.
That was your first testimony last year, yes?
Yes.
And then did you testify a couple days later and again repeated the same opinion, teeth or nail marks?
May I see it?
I'm asking if you remember.
I remember testifying.
Do you remember after you worked on your report and submitted your report?
Yes.
After your consultations, do you remember changing that opinion regarding number one? Do you remember changing that opinion?
No.
Do you remember changing from either teeth or possibly claw marks to being very specific, claiming that it was definitely teeth marks?
No.
Are there different types of teeth in a dog?
Yes.
Okay. The pointy teeth, the big ones, those are called canines?
Correct.
And the smaller ones are incisors?
Correct.
There are 6 incisors and a healthy dog on the top and bottom between the canines?
Correct.
Okay. Did you, when you testified subsequently to the original proceedings, did you change your opinion from teeth or claw marks to specifically teeth, and even more specifically, canines?
Do you have a transcript?
I do, but I'm going to ask you the question. Do you remember changing your testimony from teeth or nails to being very certain that it was canines, not just teeth, canines that caused that wound?
I became more certain, yes.
You had never said that the canines caused these wounds before you filed the report, ever, did you?
I may not have, that's true.
And so after you did the report, you shifted from teeth and nails to canines. Do you remember that?
I don't think it's a shift.
No one would ever refer to a dog's nails as canines, would they?
No, I don't think so.
That would be inaccurate, wouldn't it?
Yes.
That would be a mistaken use of the word.
I believe so.
When you testified December 2024, you didn't say nails could have caused this wound. You didn't say generally teeth. You said canines.
I believe that, and that's true. I believe that canine teeth caused that wound.
Did you have any new information about photographs that would help you change your opinion from teeth and nails to canines?
Well, I had been challenged. I had testified several times. I reviewed the case several times and challenged. And each time I reviewed the case, I became more certain that these were from canine teeth. Same. And actually, there's other marks there, but these are from teeth.
You say more certain. You had never said canines before, ever, until that recent hearing. Isn't that true?
I said teeth.
Canines.
It doesn't matter. I said teeth. Canines are some of the teeth.
Upper or lower canines?
Upper.
And if it's upper canines, you testified previously that the point of entry would be here at the bottom, and the dog would pull this way. That's what you testified to. Yes?
No, I believe you misunderstood then. The point of entry is up there. The first initial point of contact is there, and the dog pulled this way, or Mr. O'Keefe pulled his arm the opposite way.
Dr. Russell, you don't recall that you said that the bigger circles are the point of entry, the dog pulled this way, and then I asked you, how could a dog pull this way when the arc is like this? The dog's mouth would have to be in backwards. Remember that conversation we had?
Objection, Your Honor.
I'm going to allow.
Do you remember that conversation? You said that the point of entry would be the bigger circle pulled this way, and then I questioned, how could a dog's arc look like this if the teeth went that way?
No, I don't recall that
at all.
Remember
that conversation we had? Okay. And so, inevitably, when you look at this part of the wound alone, have you expressed an opinion that you're unable on its own to be able to tell whether this was caused by a dog?
Which part of the wound?
Taking any of these alone, let's start with number one. Haven't you expressed an opinion that taking this alone, you would not be able to say that was from a dog bite?
Correct. In and of themselves, they're not that specific or characteristic. However, as a group, they are highly characteristic of a dog
so if
injury.
Mr. O'Keefe's arm only had this wound and nothing else, by virtue of what you're telling us, you would not be able to offer an opinion that this was consistent with a dog bite.
That very first wound up there closest, I agree. Yes.
In fact, you've testified about this very issue before. If this was the only wound on Mr. O'Keefe, number two, you would not be able to say that the injury is consistent with a dog bite.
Correct.
I'm going to go through all of these just so we're clear. Same thing with number three. You've provided opinions on this before. If you look at this wound alone, in isolation, you would not be able to say that it came from a dog bite.
Correct.
Four. Mm-hmm. Same. Looking at the wound alone, you would not be able to say it came from a dog bite.
Correct.
Same for five and same for six.
Correct.
Now, when you testified before your recent testimony, you never had that qualification. When you came into court, you were saying that when you looked at these wounds individually, you were saying that you could identify it as a dog bite.
I disagree with that characterization.
Number two, what caused this wound, Dr. Russell?
Number two, I believe that was dog bite or scratch, but mostly I believe dog bite. And because there's a punctate, little tiny pinpoint almost lesion there and there, which could represent bottom teeth.
Okay, so you're using words like could, and we're talking about a reasonable degree of medical certainty. So when you look at this wound here, you said that you are sure or not sure what caused this wound.
I'm saying that individually, that wound, that's correct. I'm not sure individually what that wound was caused by. However, again, as I mentioned earlier, the overall pattern of wounds is what I am convinced of.
I want to go through each of these wounds separately so we understand what you actually recognize with the methodology and what you don't. So looking at wound number two, based on whatever methodology you've been using, are there any signs, indicators, objective criteria you can look at and tell us this is or is not a dog bite based on this methodology you have?
There are some characteristics that are suggestive of a dog bite or dog claw, including the fact that there are parallel lesions, and many of these overall, by the way, parallel lesions are in the same general direction. So there are parallel lesions, and here they're associated with some punctate or point-like other abrasions right here. So they're consistent with being inflicted by a dog.
I appreciate you using some medical terms to describe this, but my question is more pointed. Is there anything about your methodology, something that stands out about these wounds, that you can say to a reasonable degree of medical certainty that these are consistent with a dog either biting or scratching?
These wounds all by themselves, not to a medical degree of certainty, no.
You said on this first wound, you thought this was from the canines. Those are the big upper teeth is what you're claiming, right?
Yes.
And you're saying today anyways, starts here at the bottom and goes up. Is that your position today?
That's not what I said. I said the exact opposite.
So it starts here and comes down?
Correct.
Okay. And these two scratches, they're linear, just like these are linear, aren't they?
Yes.
But you have a problem with these because if these are the canines, you see the spacing there?
Uh-huh.
This is nowhere close, is it?
I didn't say that these were caused by canines. And spacing also, there's reasons why the spacing could be different.
Well, we can talk about that in a second. Are you suggesting that these exact, these two linear abrasions, just like one and two, are you suggesting the canines cause these?
I don't know what caused those, which teeth caused those, or which nails caused those.
When you testified last year on June 18th, you said that this was either teeth or claws. Can you give us any development of your opinions, whether or not you think that is teeth or claws?
Excuse me? No, I couldn't hear because of the fan.
When you testified on June 18th, you said wound number two, the top two linear abrasions, you believe were either teeth or claws. You've shared with us now you have improved your study and have new opinions. Do you have a clearer opinion whether this is teeth or claws?
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained. Ask it differently.
Do you have an opinion whether this is teeth or claws or not something totally different than a dog?
I believe they are teeth or claws caused.
Okay. When you testified at trial and in that hearing that they were teeth or claws, you changed that opinion as well at the most recent hearings, didn't you?
No, I'm going to object to the word that was used that's been done before.
So, Mr. Brennan, word it differently.
Sorry?
Word it differently.
Okay. Did you testify at a more recent hearing that teeth made these, not teeth or claws, but teeth?
I may have, and I would like to see that.
May I approach?
Can you just hold one second? Could you please turn the fan off, Paul? Jerry, is it okay if we turn the fan off so we can hear better? Thank you very much, Officer DeLong.
May I approach?
Yes.
From your December hearing, page 100, line 5, when you were asked about that second wound in December, and I asked whether you changed your opinion from teeth or claws to just teeth, weren't you asked specifically about that on page 100, line 5?
Yes, but may I read it?
Sure, I'll read it with you.
Okay. I said, I'm not sure on the second set. So this is the set just above the elbow.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure exactly what teeth made these. They could, one of them could, you know, one set of these could be canine, one part of this, and then adjacent incisor tooth. But I'm not sure on the second set, so this is the set just above the elbow.
Yeah, I think the first part of that paragraph is talking about the first set.
Yes.
up there close to the shoulder. And then the sentence, but I'm not sure on the second set, so this is the set that's just above the elbow. I said I'm not sure.
And then, sorry,
go ahead.
Are you done?
Oh. Yeah, actually, I did make another comment. What is it, however, what is interesting and certain is that there's an upper set and a lower set. So this mark was an upper tooth. This is a lower tooth. What I was referring to is this mark here and that mark, and then this mark here and this mark here. So it appears that this is from upper and these are from lower. That's what I was referring to.
And so when you first described these, this wound, as teeth or claws, at the most recent hearing, you had a certain opinion that this was teeth, didn't you?
Yes, I was leaning towards teeth, correct.
Well, it didn't seem like you were leaning. You said these were from the upper teeth. You said it matter-of-factly, not with any qualification. Your claim at the last hearing is this was from teeth.
That's what I believed.
And today you're saying you don't know if these were teeth or claws.
Not with 100% certainty.
Well, you didn't qualify 100% certainty. You were asked your opinion, Dr. Russell.
Yes.
You were asked, what do you think? And you didn't say, well, not 100% certainty. Your claim, the first time you testified, teeth or claws. Recently, you said teeth. And now you're saying you're not sure.
No, I'm saying I believe that those marks are from teeth, but I'm not 100% certain.
Suffice to say, looking at wound two alone, you cannot say this was caused by a dog.
In and of itself, no.
What tooth do you think caused this wound?
I don't know.
Do you think this in any way could be caused by dog teeth if you're claiming that this is dog teeth?
Excuse me?
Do you think there's any way these two could be caused by dog teeth if you're saying that these two were caused by dog teeth?
Yes, could be, but I don't know which teeth. And I don't know the extent of the bite, how much impact there was, and how much pressure, you know, how much contact there was between the teeth and the skin.
The canines are the longer teeth in a dog's mouth, aren't they?
They are.
And when a dog bites, it's very common for the canines to puncture, isn't it?
It's common if there's enough force. And it's common that you might have two canines if the strike is perpendicular to the skin. But if you have a tangential strike, you know, a partial strike where only part of the teeth impact, you'll get different configurations.
Look at the spacing, Dr. Russell.
Did you say strike or strike?
Strike with a K.
Look at the spacing, Dr. Russell.
Mm-hmm.
A dog causing these wounds, the canines are not going to have such a dramatic distance between them because dog canines don't move, do they?
They don't, and I'm not claiming that these two parallel stripes in this case, abrasions here, I'm not claiming that those two were caused by canines.
You think a dog is going to leave a wound with linear abrasions using its incisors as opposed to its canines? Is that your opinion?
It's possible if that's the only part of the mouth or the jaw that actually touched the skin, if it didn't go back as far as the canines.
Did you ever look at the underside of Mr. O'Keefe's arm?
I did.
Posterior side?
Excuse me. Pictures? Yes.
Yeah. And when you looked at the photographs of the posterior side of Mr. O'Keefe's arm, did you find anything conspicuously absent from underneath his arm?
Well, first of all, let me clarify. Part of this is the posterior aspect of the arm. So are you asking me, did I look at the underside of the arm, the fleshy part
exactly
of the arm?
That's exactly what I'm asking. It's a question I've asked before. When you look at the other side of Mr. O'Keefe's arm, did you notice anything conspicuously absent?
Yes, there's an absence of wounds.
When a dog bites, I don't care if it's a law enforcement dog or a domestic dog, you know it's like a lever, a dog's mouth, isn't it?
It can be if both jaws strike the skin. However, there are cases, there are many times when only the upper jaw strikes the skin.
The lower jaw is a lever, locks, and that's part of the clamping and pulling process of a dog, whether it's a law enforcement dog or a domestic dog. You know that, don't you?
I know that they are attached.
Your claim is that there's many, many different dog bites on Mr. O'Keefe's arm. Are you suggesting, to a reasonable degree of medical certainty, that these are a number of different dog strikes, and coincidentally, every single one of them lacks any wound to the underside of his arm?
Yes.
Your claim is that a dog penetrated the sweater on the top, but the lower jaw did not leave any wounds?
I'm claiming that that's not what I'm claiming. No. As I mentioned earlier, these could be from lower jaw. Those right there.
You're saying could be.
Could be.
That's speculation. We're asking you for your medical opinions. Your medical opinions. Do you have any evidence that the dog's lower jaw, you said maybe upper, maybe, that the lower jaw, even just once in this whole event, penetrated Mr. O'Keefe's skin?
No, nothing penetrated the skin. There was no actual penetration of the skin. These are abrasions. But I believe that these small marks right here, punctate marks, may be the result of lower jaw impact.
Rather than deal in speculation and maybes, can you tell us to a reasonable degree of medical certainty whether or not this was caused by a tooth?
Yes, Your Honor.
I'm going to strike the first part. Why don't you ask the other part?
Can you tell us to a reasonable degree of medical certainty whether this superficial abrasion put that back up, please, was caused by a dog?
In and of itself, that part only? No.
Can you tell us anywhere on Mr. O'Keefe's arm to a reasonable degree of medical certainty where the lower jaw impacted Mr. O'Keefe to leave even a scratch?
Not with a reasonable degree of medical certainty on individual wounds.
And not just individual wounds, I'm talking specifically the lower jaw. Can you point to one wound, one abrasion on that arm where you can say to a reasonable degree of medical certainty the lower jaw caused any of those abrasions?
I believe there are several areas where there's impact from the lower jaw. However, I cannot say with reasonable degree of medical certainty that part only.
Let's look at number three to move along. When you first talked about these wounds again, is it fair to say that you described that it could have either been teeth or claw?
I'd have to see it.
Okay, I'll bring it to you. You don't remember that testimony?
I remember, again, I've been here many times, so I want to be
Well, you
specific.
Have the opinion today, and I'm getting the transcript for you, Dr. Russell.
Thank you.
Do you have the opinion today that this was that those were either teeth or claws?
Yes.
What's your opinion today?
Well, I think that most likely they are from teeth marks.
Well, rather than most likely, we deal with reasonable degree of medical certainty. To a reasonable degree of medical certainty, can you give us an opinion regarding the cause of those marks?
Objection, Your Honor.
So I'll strike the comment.
Can you tell us to a reasonable degree of medical certainty whether these wounds were caused by teeth or claws?
Individually, no.
Did you ever change your mind about the source of these abrasions?
Can you be more specific?
Did you ever claim that any of these abrasions were from upper or lower teeth?
I don't recall changing my mind.
You don't recall if you've ever said that? Let's separate these bottom wounds. Do you have an opinion to a reasonable degree of medical certainty whether these were caused by teeth or claws?
I have an opinion.
To a reasonable degree of medical certainty?
No.
Do you have an opinion to a reasonable degree of medical certainty whether these were caused by either a dog teeth or dog claws?
I have an opinion.
To a reasonable degree of medical certainty?
Individually, no.
The one near the wrist, you had testified yesterday, there's lines in what you believe to be an arc, correct?
Yes, they have a general overall appearance of an arc.
If there's an arc and there's two linear abrasions on the outside borders, wouldn't these necessarily have to be the outside borders from canine teeth?
Not necessarily.
They're longer than the middle ones, aren't they?
The abrasions are, but doesn't mean the teeth are.
If this was an arc, like you claimed, you think different teeth other than the canines could have caused the outside scratches?
It's possible.
And you do note the distance between the top and bottom of those wounds compared to the distance in number two and the distance in number one?
I see the difference, yes.
And you have to concede, Dr. Russell, that the same set of teeth, the same canines, could not reasonably have caused this wound, and this wound, given the distance between the inside and outside.
First of all, I'm not certain that these are all canines, as I mentioned earlier. Secondly, you have to take into account that skin is elastic. It bends. It depresses. So you could have two prongs, for instance, of a pitchfork, for instance, just as an example, impact the skin in different places, and the measurement between the two will be can be slightly different depending on the elasticity of the skin and the underlying structures.
This is not a slight difference, Dr. Russell, is it?
Again,
objection, Your Honor.
So there was a question with that, so I'm going to let that in.
Again, Dr. Russell.
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.